Who the hell called me the night show? Hello?
Congratulations, you're speaking with Donald Trump.
I know damn well you ain't calling, but how you get my number?
I am making cold calls to undecided voters, and you were the first name on my list. Is this media?
First of all, my name is Madea. Mud to the damn D-E-A, okay? That's my name. Learn how to talk, Durner.
Look, media, I'd like to conduct a quick survey with you. Do you mind if I ask you a few simple questions?
Yes, I mind. Goodbye.
Perfect. First question. What is your biggest concern this election?
Oh, that's simple. You. You are my biggest concern. Next question, please.
Okay, when I win this election, what should be my first act as president?
Oh, I think you should have the National Guard and all the Army people bring out jackets and give to everybody the quilted lined up kind.
Why is that?
Because if you win, hell done froze the hell over.
Okay. Wrong. 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 Not.
This is not a debate, Donald. This have is not a debate.
Have you seen my poll numbers lately? Have you seen my poll numbers? Have you seen my poll numbers? Have you seen my poll numbers lately? They're very impressive.
Yes, honey. I've seen the size of your hands, so trust me, I'm sure that your poll numbers is not that impressive.
There's no problem with the size of my hands. Trust me, they're big, they're beautiful, and they are fantastic.
Are you done? Can I get
out? Everybody's so done. Wanny boy? All right, boy, okay. He's not thirsty. Look, is there anything I could say to convince you to vote for me?
Oh, yes, very simple. Hello, my name is Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
Okay, moving on. What is your opinion on building the wall?
Oh, I'm all for that.
Really?
Yes, I think
the wall.
I think you should build a wall, yes.
Because I want a tall wall.
Yes, you should have a tall wall, a tall wall, a tall wall in a circle around Trump Tower so I can lock your ass up in it. That's exactly what you should have. Okay. Hallelujah, somebody.
Okay, I don't... What is with all the hostility? Haven't you heard the old saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, tweet it at 3 a.m. instead?
Look, Donna, okay, that's one thing you and I have in common, okay? It's what we both say, whatever's on our mind. For instance, you can say that a beauty queen is disgusting. Ain't that what you said? And I can say that I heard that you look like a pumpkin, so sit outside of my house. The truth is, you look like the jack-o'-lantern that sit out of my house. In this case, it's a jack-ass-o'-lantern. Now, okay, can you please get off my phone?
Wrong. I prefer the term Trumpkin. Now, look, let's cut to the chase. On election day, will you be voting for Donald Trump?
Ain't no black people voting for you, Donna. Don't you understand that? Lord, help him. Lord, help him understand. Help him understand, Lord. Help him understand. Help him to Timothy. Help him understand.
What was that? Was that some kind of hymn? I love hymns. They're so much better than hers. All right, media, I have to move on to my next caller. But before I go, I got to tell you, if you're voting for Hillary Clinton, you really need to wake up.
First of all, I'm woke, okay? I'm woke. I'm woke like a rooster cock-a-doodle-doo, bitch.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go eat a bucket of KFC and do my 7-minute workout.
Okay, fine. Then I'm gonna eat my Popeyes and do my 7-minute workout.
Cue the music.
Cue the black people music.
Yeah, Madea. Let Donald Trump have it. That was Donald Trump calling Madea on the Jimmy Fallon Show. This is Complaint Department. Views with a twist. Yeah, I got a little new name going on there. Gonna get into a little thing. Some current events. Some music. Maybe some more comedy. I love stuff like that. I love when they get on Donald, because Donald is just ridiculous. If you heard about all this stuff that's going on with all these women coming out, he might as well go golfing with Bill Cosby, if you ask me. If that man gets voted president, I'm moving to Russia. Well, no, maybe not Russia. I'll move to Siberia. I don't know. Anyway, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
tuning in. Jamaica, Queens, an NYPD detective shot in the head, possibly by a pellet or a BB. CBS2's Tony Aiello live at the scene where officers are searching for clues. Tony.
Maurice, this detective treated and released from Jamaica Hospital. He is home tonight with whatever struck him still lodged in his forehead. A routine patrol drive with the window down, taking a dangerous turn.
The incident brought a massive police presence to the scene. Cops trying to figure out exactly what unfolded as an NYPD sergeant and her detective driver in an unmarked car prepared to turn left on 168th Street.
They heard a loud popping sound coming from the driver's side of the vehicle. The officers on the passenger side of the vehicle observed her partner bleeding from his forehead.
Police believe the detective was struck by a BB or pellet gun, perhaps fired from a passing vehicle.
X-rays and CAT scan reveal that there is a foreign projectile lodged in his forehead.
The busy intersection became a frozen zone as cops flooded the scene.
All the buses stop, all the cars stop. Since like four block this side, they stop all the buses. They don't allow anyone to move.
A total of 17 MTA buses were held at the scene. Police hope to recover video from their camera systems.
Were those cops targeted? Was this random? What exactly was fired and by whom? All unknown tonight. The police asking members of the public with information to please come forward. Live in Jamaica, Queens, Tony Aiello, CBS 2 News.
All right, Tony, thank you.
Now, once again, folks, this happened really not far. It was last week the guy set his apartment on fire, which is walking distance from where I live. I live on 171st and Hillside. This was on 168th and Jamaica, which isn't far for me to walk. It's 5 minutes. And, you know, it's really amazing the crazy stuff that goes on. Now, they have this guy, they have a photo of this guy. I guess they got it from one of the surveillance cameras. They got a photo of this guy who was sitting in the back seat, and he's got a smile on his face. So he was really into what he had just did. He just shot a cop with a pellet gun. Ha, 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 ha. You know, what an idiot. I hope they catch this guy really quick, you know. And I just don't understand what's in people's minds half the time, you know, especially these dumb kids running around. It's really ridiculous. Let me give you an example. Today I was on the train. I was on the train coming home after meeting a friend. And I'm just a few stops away from home. And I'm standing in the front car because it was kind of crowded. All of a sudden, this girl who's like 3 feet away from me just collapses. She just collapses. And I go, oh my gosh, she passed out. And I walk over and realize I don't know what the hell to do. Only thing I know to do is to check to see if she's got a pulse. And thank God there was a Jamaican woman on the train that sort of took charge. Another woman checked her pulse. It didn't look like she knew what she was doing. She just was kind of guessing. But, you know, when they rolled her over on her back, because she fell and she was laying on her side. When they rolled her over on her back, she kind of regained consciousness. But the reason I'm telling you this is the callousness. I mean, when she fell, I was the first one that jumped towards her, but then thought to myself, well, what do you do now, John? You don't know what to do. And thank God the women took over, because I didn't even want to touch her because she was a woman. I didn't want anything to seem like it was weird, you know, because you get a lot of that, which is unfortunate that I thought that way. But the callousness, I mean, when the women took over, I stepped back. There was a kid next to me, I don't know, maybe 20 or something, who was paying absolutely no attention. He was playing with himself. He was paying absolutely no attention. And here's the worst thing. Once they got her kind of on her feet, the Jamaican woman basically had to command someone to get out of their seat on the train and give her seat to her. Because these people were not, they weren't even looking. I mean, half of them wondered. There were some looking. Most of them weren't even paying attention. They weren't even paying attention. And I'd like to say that New York, you know, we're all friendly and yada, 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 we'll help you out. Yeah, in certain situations, but in certain another situations, we don't give a goddamn. And that's a shame. I was really astonished at the callousness of a lot of these people on the train. Most of them men. And this was a young woman. She was probably no older than 25. You know, most likely she was just drained, you know. Maybe she's working, she's a student, she's young, so she's partying. She's doing this, she's doing that, probably getting no sleep. And it caught up with her. And she just hit the deck. Kapow! And I was like, oh my God. You know, I mean, that's the first time I had ever seen anything like that on the train. So I was at first shocked. But I ran over really quick. But then I didn't know. I said, okay, well, what's the first move? So I think, you know, I'm going back and doing my study. So I think I'm going to have to take a, what do you call those classes? You know, an EMS course or something like that, you know. First aid course or something. Because, you know, I kind of felt helpless in that moment, you know. But, and she refused to get off the train because first, you know, I got out and told the driver, listen, because I was in the front car, and I said to the driver, I said, listen, you've got a sick passenger. And it was another lady there that said, yeah, she collapsed. And then the guy radioed in and somebody ran out and said, call the police. And then went over and spoke to her, but she refused to get out of the train. Somebody was giving her water, and I guess that's what she needed because she was probably dehydrated and the whole thing. You know, that's what leads up to that. Yeah. Anyway, it's just, you know, tales of the city. And you are listening to Complaint Department Views with a Twist on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, on SoundCloud, John Robinson at writers.org. Tawa Kwan at your-poetry.com. I'll be back. With the media of life, it's a non-stop fixation which causes derangements of thoughts in my mind. My mind falls into a vertical of moon madness, which is not so easy to shake off. Suddenly fear builds within the walls of my mind, and the thoughts turn into images of a horrible death. The toxic bridges, burning planes, the thought continues to become of even more insane. I begin to wonder if the medication is to blame, or has it all simply become a dull game? I seem to focus on all the wrong things. Life is okay once you get into the swing. Life is okay once you get into the swing. Life is okay once you get into the swing. Get into the swing. Get into the swing. We'll be right back. crossing bridges, burning planes. The thoughts continue to become even more insane. I begin to wonder if the medication is to blame, or has it all simply become one dull game? Life is okay once you get into the swing. Life is okay once you get into the swing. Life is okay once you get into the swing. Get into the swing. Get into the swing. Dang, dang.
Hit me in the head, knocked me off the bike. I fell off the bike.
A terrifying ride for Jacob Angstreich in Central Park. He says a group of teenagers attacked him while he was cycling near 95th Street.
In the interim, my iPhone had fallen out of my pocket onto the ground, and one of the kids grabbed it, picked it up, and saw it was an iPhone 7, started waving it around saying, "Look at what we got, an iPhone 7. I'm going to keep this."
Police say it happened on Monday around 1 a.m. Hours later, around 9:30 p.m., investigators say a woman jogging near 107th Street and East Drive was also attacked and nearly raped.
She is thrown to the ground by a male black 30, heavyset, scruffy beard, with a dark jacket and an orange t-shirt. This is an attempted rape. It was not completed. He then left the park.
Police say it's part of a troubling trend in Central Park. While crime is down for the year, they say this past month it's up substantially. Five robberies versus one. All the victims robbed of their cell phones. Last Friday, a 21-year-old man leaving the park around 11:30 p.m. was also attacked and mugged.
I'm not worried during the day. I wouldn't be here out at nighttime. I wouldn't recommend that, even if you're training.
Police say they want people to use the park, but take a partner if it's late at night and be aware of your surroundings.
Bad month for the park, but we're deploying a lot of resources into that area to see if we can stem this and solve these crimes.
We've seen a lot of people actually running and riding by themselves in these overnight hours since we've been here. All five of these robberies happened at night and into the overnight hours, according to police. They are looking into which ones, if any of them, are connected. They believe there are about 4 to 5 suspects they're searching for. As of this morning, no arrests have been made. Reporting live in Central Park, Andrea Grimes, CBS 2 News.
And once again, folks, I tell you, I don't know what's going on. I mean, it's not summertime, so there's really no excuse for people to be freaking out the way they are. Maybe it's the economy, you know? Maybe it's the fact that we've got a crazy election year, an absolutely insane election year with two people that you can't trust, but you figure you got to vote for one of them, unless you want to vote for Gary Johnson, and that would just be a waste of time. You know, but you ask yourself what's going on. I mean, all these happenings in Central Park now, you know, and it always gets me when people say, well, you know, I feel mostly safe, blah, blah, blah. You know, at least the lady said, you know, she wouldn't come out at night. Yeah, I years ago, many years ago, when I had first come back to the country in 97, I got together with a guy. I was doing poetry, and I got together with a guy that played horrible guitar, but it for some reason it fit to the poetry that I was doing. You know, we even had radio shows, and we would go out there like it, and it would be like after 12 midnight, and usually the park closes at 12, but the cops would let you in. They would let you in because they knew that you were going to the poetry readings. I doubt if they do that anymore because it's just madness and you don't know what's going to happen when you're on your way home. Anyway, you're listening to Complaint Department, Views with a Twist. Yeah, we do current events with a little comedy, some music. Try to loosen things up while keeping you informed. We're on your iTunes, your iOS, Android, SoundCloud, John Robinson on writers.org, Tawa Kwan at your-poetry.org, or is it .com? I think it's your-poetry.com. Yeah, I always forget. Anyway, I'll be back.
Scars that can't be seen. I've got drama, can't be stolen. Everybody knows me now. My brain whirl. Drop my cell phone down below. Ain't that just like me? Money.
people like Daryl Wout don't think twice about mailing out a rent check or bill payments in a collection box like this.
But I'm not too worried. It never seems to be a major issue.
But police say it is an issue in East Harlem, where within the last few weeks, thieves were somehow able to pull mail out of this U.S. Postal Service mailbox on East 116th Street and 3rd Avenue, and this one in front of the post office on East 124th Street, stealing checks from unknowing victims. Police say the criminals changed the amount printed on the checks and cashed them in for hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars.
Wow, I hadn't heard of that.
Police believe the recent collection box thefts are part of a citywide pattern with other mailbox thefts happening here in the Bronx and in Queens. And police believe organized gangs may be behind it all.
But East Harlem resident Frank Rivera thinks it's much more simple than that.
There are a lot of people in the shelter system. There's a lot of families starving. Can't find no jobs, so they feel they need to go into the mailbox and start fishing for checks. Yeah. And it's sad, and I'm not saying that it's right to do that, but you need to blame the economy.
The New York Division of the Postal Inspection Service says they are investigating the string of mailbox thefts and suggest people always double-check outgoing mail goes into the mailbox before walking away.
Do you always feel that it's safe in there?
No. No, because sometimes people don't get that mail. I had put $10 in an envelope for somebody and they never got it.
The Postal Inspection Service says it is working to stop these thefts by replacing these mailboxes with newly designed ones that make it impossible for thieves to fish for mail. In Harlem, Hazel Sanchez, CBS 2 News.
Police and the Postal Inspection Service urge anyone who believes they were a victim of mailbox theft to notify them.
And you know what, folks? And this is JDR. You're listening to Complaint Department Views with a Twist. The one guy hit it on the head, the economy. Like I was saying before, with all these things going on Central Park, I just heard a couple of days ago that there was a guy that did 6 house robberies, well, apartment robberies, in Astoria, Queens, which isn't far from where I live. I live in Jamaica, Queens, New York. And this guy did 6. When I left my apartment today, I locked the top lock because that's a really strong lock. It's really, you can't break it. You really have to break the door open. You have to literally break the door open to get through that lock. And he's right, because as much as Mayor de Blasio wants to say that, you know, the economy is better, there is less homeless, it's not true. There's less unemployed, it's not true. There's more unemployed, there's more homeless, and there are people that are homeless that have never been homeless before. And they don't know what to do. And fishing in mailboxes, which is really crazy, because I guess you have to do it like in the middle of the night. You know, you can't do it in the day. Then again, maybe you can, because, you know, when I think about this young lady that passed out on the train and nobody gave a shit, you know, except a couple of people, I can imagine somebody fishing in the mailbox, you know, at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on a busy street and nobody's paying them any attention. Them, I should say, could be a woman, you know, but it's just crazy. And, you know, you probably have to, you know, you can blame it on the economy, one thing, but you can also blame it on an exploding population. You know, sometimes jobs can't keep up with the amount of people looking for jobs. Do you know how many people there are in college right now? Young people, I mean, I'm in college. I'm just going to college just to get my associates, just so I have something to write on my resume. I'm not going for a bachelor's or a master's. I'll be 60-something years old. It's nobody's looking for me, you know? But these young kids, 20-something years old and blah, 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 and they got all this debt, which I would also have, and they come out of college. You know, these companies look for them because they know that they can get years out of them. They're young, they're vibrant, you know, they've got ideas. You know, some of them, a lot of them are pretty stupid. I mean, I met a kid when I was working in College of Technology in Brooklyn who came in looking for a book. He said, I need the biography of Martin X. And I looked at him and I said, Malcolm X? And he goes, oh, yeah, right, Malcolm. He was a black guy. He was a black guy. And he said, Martin X. So that just goes to show you, listen, they're not all geniuses coming out of college. But there are many. There are many. There are many smart ones. And, you know, society is giving, well, these companies, let's not say society, these companies are giving their jobs to the young people. Why? Because they want years out of them. They want ideas out of them. They know these guys are going to come to work. They're not going to be missing days because of some sort of illness or this or that. You know, older people, you know, we tend to get ill every now and then. You know, even though I haven't been ill in years. But, the other half is stuck, can't get money, find themselves on the street, find themselves not knowing what to do. Because, listen, public assistance, the Human Resources Administration, isn't going to give you jack. They're not going to give you jack. Our social system here in the United States is crap. It's total crap. I know. I lived in Germany for 21 years. When I didn't have a job, man, they supplied me with cash. No problem. Here? You better forget it. You better find yourself a mailbox. Anyway, my name is J.D. Aron. You're listening to Complaint Department Views with a Twist. And I shall read. Well, you know what? Let me give my shout-outs, because last week I didn't give my shout-outs. I'm going to give my shout-outs to the ASPCA, the FDNY, NYPD, Show Your Soft Side, SOS Wildlife, North Shore Animal League, all of my friends in Deutschland, and everyone that listens to me. Sorry I didn't do that last week. You know, I was having, you know, microphone troubles and stuff like that. But last week I didn't have the microphone troubles. I was probably just drunk. But anyway, listen, I'll either be back or maybe not. All right, bye-bye.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining me. U.S. Navy ship targeted in failed attack from Yemen. A U.S. Navy-guided missile destroyer was targeted on Sunday in a failed missile attack from territory in Yemen controlled by Iran-aligned Houthi rebels, a U.S. military spokesman told Reuters, saying two missiles failed to hit the ship. USS Mason detected two inbound missiles over about a 60-minute period while in the Red Sea off the coast of Yemen. Both missiles impacted the water before reaching the ship. Pentagon spokesman Captain Jeff Davis said, there were no injuries to our sailors and no damage to the ship, he said. Well, thank God for that. Well, put your thoughts and comments down below. Bookmark my site. I'll keep you up to date. Please stay safe, and I'll talk to you later. God bless y'all. Bye.
The world is changing. Bigger missiles, different missiles.
Precision gunfire support. We move into the future. Railgun, solid-state laser.
Lasers, railguns.
Megawatts of power at your fingertips.
Power, and lots of it.
DDG-1000.
Dumwalt.
DDG-1000.
DDG-1000.
It's changed the game.
Never, ever been done before.
Radically different than anything I've worked on.
Radical departure from previous ship design.
With new wave of the future.
Now this is the wave of the future.
Lifeblood of the platform is people.
You know, without it, it's just a hunk of steel. You know, people are the difference. One of the things the Admiral Burke said to us, the ship is built to fight, you had better know how.
The sailor dictates the platform's atmosphere. If you have a good sailor, they're highly motivated, they're highly trained, they will tend to do things the correct way, and they will do them better and more efficient. When this ship get underway, it's gonna be the new wave of the Navy. It's gonna have a lot of eyes on her.
I think any sailor can expect that when they get to Zumwalt, they're gonna be expected to perform at a seasoned petty officer level, not anything less.
The thing that excites me the most is the history behind Admiral Zumwalt. I just love his philosophy. I think he was a great person. Once you read about Admiral Zumwalt and you see his legacy, it just makes you want to be on his ship.
You know, they're embarking on the adventure of a lifetime. You are on the leading edge for the Navy. You know, you are doing something that none of your peers are going to have the opportunity to do. You are taking the first of a class to sea, and nobody else can take that from you.
I have all faith in my shipmates. I believe that we will all come together, and once the ship get underway, everybody will see that this is a great ship.
So folks, just let me say before I go, if you've never heard of this newest naval ship that's called the Zumwalt class destroyer, this thing is amazing. I mean, it cost $3.96 billion to build. And it's just, it is Class A. Now, I can get into all kinds of technical stuff like propulsion, 2x Rolls-Royce MT-30 gas turbines, you know, speed in excess of 30 knots, which is 56 kilometers or 35 miles. It has multifunction radar. You can't see any weapons on this thing. You just see a ship. And they can shoot weapons from every direction in a range of 60 miles. So they can shoot a rocket 60 miles from that ship. And what's really what I really think is fantastic, being an ex-military man, is that this is a big ship. I mean, it is 600 feet in length, which is 180 meters. And the beam is 80.7 feet, which is 24.6 meters. And the draft is 27.6 feet, which is 8.4 meters. Like I said, why get into the technical stuff? But most of these big ships, these big naval ships, will have like 300 guys on it. This one has like 130 guys. And this is the greatest thing that I think about this ship. They can roll in their weapons, meaning they can put the ship on land and with a, what do you call those things that are used in warehouses, you know, that pick up the pallets and stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about. They can bring their torpedoes in, unloaded now, folks. And they will load the torpedoes into the torpedo chutes, whatever you want to call them. And the torpedo chutes will automatically load the torpedoes. Which is just like, what? How does that even happen? What is that even about? I mean, it's really crazy, you know? It's like, okay, I'm reading here, it's a class of United States Navy guided missiles destroyers designed as a multi-mission stealth ship with a focus on land attack. The class emerged from a previous DD-21 vessel program, previously known as the DDX, in parentheses. The class is multi-role and designed for surface warfare, anti-warcraft warfare, and naval gunfire support. They take the place of battleships in filling the former congressional mandate for naval fire support. Though the requirement was reduced to allow them to fill this role, the vessel appearance has been compared to that of the historic ironclad warships, the old ones. Remember the old warships like World War II, World War I? They kind of look like boxes. Well, this one kind of looks like a box. You know, but it has, like I said, you can't see the weapons on it. And it shoots weapons from everywhere. And, you know, the thing is just absolutely just amazing. I was hearing about it today and I was like, what, are you kidding me? Is this for real? Now, the frightening thing about this is, why do we need such a weapon? why do we need such a weapon? Why, really? Has it gotten that far? But as you heard in the soundbite, the guy said, you know, everybody was saying, you know, it's a new age. It's a new age. This is the way you have to fight war if you go to war. We think we're in war now because, you know, we got still troops in Afghanistan and some spread out and, I don't know, Iraq and whatever. No, a war is when it really comes down to it, to where everybody in the United States is working for the military, like they did in World War II. Everybody was building stuff that pertained to military use. That is a war. Vietnam was a war. Well, Vietnam was a conflict. It wasn't a war. It was a conflict. World War I and World War II was a war. And, of course, the Civil War. And to think that we have to go to these heights to protect ourselves is a scary thought when you think about it. That we need these type of weapons, stealth, and, you know, things that shoot rockets 60 miles and, wow, everything's computerized and this and that, and torpedoes load themselves, and I don't know. In my opinion, I think it's pretty damn scary. But that's just me. Hey, folks, you're listening to Complaint Department Views with a Twist. I'll get it right. It's the first time I've been using it. I've decided I needed to change the name. And I'm sorry because I wanted to get into more animal stuff. But the thing about it is, there's just not a whole lot of animal stuff. I need to go out and start interviewing some people. But, you know, my life is, I'm trying to put everything together. And I eventually will. I eventually will, I promise you. But right now, hey, it is what it is. All right, folks, I don't think I'll be back, so thanks for listening. There will be more show left. You don't have to go anywhere. There is more show left. And hopefully, you will listen next week. Bye-bye.
Man, you know how to play. I can't.
Yeah, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming.